Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, let's get right into a review of the offseason. We've seen the OTAs and minicamp. We're in that interim period now with training camp just a couple of weeks away. Beginning with the offense, what did you see this offseason that will make this Packers team different in 2016 compared to 2015?
Yeah, well, the first thing you can't miss, Mike, is Jared Cook. the big offseason acquisition for them coming over from the Rams. Even Randall Cobb first alluded to it right at the start of the offseason program about just how awestruck he was seeing him in person for the first time. 6'5", 250 pounds, a natural athlete. I think he's a guy that really stands out to you. And then also, you know, Eddie Lacy and the changes that he made and obviously the renewed dedication he's shown. That's a big piece for the Packers right now, and obviously we've seen what this offense can do when he's at his best.
Right, and the word on Lacy is progress was made with the conditioning during the offseason, but he wasn't where he needed to be as far as the regular season. So when he comes back for training camp, there's going to be a lot of eyes on him to see, did he maintain, you know, the progress? Did he make any more progress? Hopefully there are no setbacks there because, as you said, when Eddie Lacy's at his best, when he's that 1,100, 1,200-yard rusher that he was his first two seasons, this offense is at another level.
Yeah, and I don't know what you think about this, Mike, but I really think the NFL, there's been sort of this resurgence with running backs and the importance of them. In Eddie Lacy, you saw those first 2 years when he was playing at that level, what it did for the offense, how he carried them during that stretch that they were without Aaron Rodgers in 2013. And if he's back to the Eddie Lacy of old, so to speak, he brings another element to this offense, running, passing, whatever it might be, and really that bell cow every down back that has become so difficult to find in today's NFL.
Yeah, and Eddie Lacy's made a lot of strides in the pass-catching department over the last couple seasons compared to his rookie year. Certainly no questioning his toughness with what he played through that rookie season with that ankle injury. But getting back to Jared Cook for a minute, you're talking about a playmaking tight end, you know, stretch-the-seam type of guy, who's never had a quarterback anywhere close to the caliber of Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball to him. And that really, I think, becomes the biggest wild card for this Packers offense comparatively this year to previous years, is what does Jared Cook bring when his athleticism is combined with the accuracy and playmaking of a quarterback like Rodgers?
Yeah, and he said, too, during the offseason program, 7 NFL seasons, he's never been to a playoff. It just so happens that the Packers have been to one every single season.
Yeah.
So it was a perfect marriage for him for that perspective. But I think you give him a lot of credit, too. He stepped in the doors at Lambeau Field and immediately started building that relationship with Aaron Rodgers. He talked about it. Rodgers spoke about it and the importance of building that relationship. Mike McCarthy alluded to it back when you go all the way to March at the owners' meetings, how important it is to have a difference maker in the middle of the field, size-wise, attributes. He brings everything that you look for. If he can develop that early relationship with Rodgers, it goes a long way.
Yeah, and we didn't get to see too much of Cook through OTAs and minicamp. He was sidelined kind of partway through with a foot injury. All indications are, at least so far, that he'll be back for training camp. So we'll see how that unfolds. Another pass catcher, though, to touch on, Davante Adams. He came back for this third season of his career now in 2016, looked a little bigger and stronger. I think he's a guy that he's not happy with how things went last year. There was a lot thrown upon him when Jordy Nelson got hurt, but Adams also got hurt and was dealing with injuries throughout the year. I don't think physically he was ever really able to show what he's capable of, and what I want to see in 2016 is a healthy Adams and what he brings to this offense.
Yeah, I asked Adams during OTAs about just how he looked, because he does look physically more toned, and especially in the upper body, and he joked that he just did a little bit more of these, making a gesture to you know, lifting weights and his bicep. But all kidding aside, he did say that that's something he felt when the season, you know, he ended up having the knee injury in Washington. That took him out of that game right when it looked like he was turning a corner again. And he said his offseason, it kind of inhibited him a little bit from doing the conditioning stuff. So he focused more on his strength. And as the offseason progressed, as those months went on, he started balancing those two. that's going to be a big thing for him in this offense because the Packers still have big plans for him.
Yeah, definitely. And rounding out some things in the pass-catching category, Jordy Nelson certainly looks ready. If it had been up to Nelson, I think he'd have been out there through OTAs doing everything with everybody else, but they're being cautious, holding him back for training camp. But there are no indications that he's not ready to go. Ty Montgomery, on the other hand, we didn't see him at all really doing any of the physical drills at all through the spring. So still waiting to see if Montgomery will be back from that ankle surgery, kind of a wait-and-see situation.
Absolutely. And the Nelson thing, if his softball game was any indication, he's ready. He's back. You know, knocking out a couple home runs there at the beginning of June. But from an on-field perspective, you can't underscore how important he is to this offense. I think last year, everybody that was reinforced and getting him back, I think that opens up everything for Aaron Rodgers and really every position on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, certainly a lot of things to watch for on offense in training camp. After a break, we'll come back and talk a little bit about the defensive side of the ball. We'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Wes, let's shift gears to the defensive side of the ball now. The big story, Mike McCarthy essentially announced it after the 2015 season was over, that Clay Matthews was going back outside. That's not to say we won't see him inside right here and there, but the inside gig is going to be very much a part-time thing, and Clay Matthews will be back at his natural position, and we saw a lot more of that this spring.
Yeah, the home base, I think, is the phrase that everyone keeps using. That's going to be his home base going into next season. It's a conversation they had with Matthews right at the start of the offseason, too. I mean, when they did their exit interviews, this was a point that they wanted to emphasize, that they were going to go into next year, make some changes with the inside linebackers, and get Matthews back to doing what he does best, and that's rushing the passer. We talked about this before, you and I, with Julius Peppers coming in 2014. The plan was for him and Matthews to be the pairing, and realistically, we've only seen that for about a half a season so
far.
Yeah,
and that was when Peppers was still really kind of adjusting
right
to Dom Capers' scheme and getting used to things, and then halfway through 2014, Matthews has to shift inside to help the run defense, and as you say, that bookend pairing on the edges for Dom Capers' defense, you know, what we've seen with other teams with James Harrison and Lamar Woodley, for example, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Packers have only had that for half a season, and 2016 could be the year that that takes off. And you mentioned inside linebackers, which is what's necessitating or allowing the move for Matthews back outside. Blake Martinez was drafted and brought in. Sam Barrington will be coming back from the season-ending injury. Jake Ryan looks leaner and trimmer. Looks like he's ready for a bigger impact in his second season. What's your take on the inside linebackers?
Really like the multitude of options that they have there. And certainly they would have had a lot more last year, too, if Barrington doesn't go down with that foot injury in Chicago during the opener. But now you have Jake Ryan a year and all the experience that he got, 50 tackles as a rookie. And you bring back Barrington, that equation. Blake Martinez with the potential that he's shown. The Packers are going to – it's going to be a good competition, I think, in training camp to see exactly where all those pieces fit. And as you alluded to, too, Jake Ryan does look a little leaner, a little faster. I know you talked to him a little bit about this offseason, and that was something that wasn't by accident.
No, he planned for this. He wanted to remake his body a little bit. He said he hasn't really dropped any weight or changed his weight from 240 pounds, but the way he put it to me was, last year I wasn't the 240 that I wanted to be. And I thought that was an interesting comment. He really did dedicate himself in the offseason. He said he feels faster, which means maybe he can take on some more coverage responsibilities with tight ends and running backs if he's got a little bit more speed. So a fourth-round pick out of Michigan, you know, just his second season and you know, only moved inside to inside linebacker at Michigan towards the end of his college career. So we're still seeing a little bit of a position transition for him.
One thing that stood out to me when I talked with Blake Martinez, like you mentioned, the fourth-round pick out of Stanford, and it was such a mature statement by him in that it's on the inside linebackers to prove that they can be that dime linebacker that everybody talks about.
Yeah.
Because it is becoming more and more popular, important, whatever you want to call
it. It's a matchup game.
Right. And to put in a defensive back in that situation, some teams have started to do that. You look at Arizona. Martinez said, whether it's him, no matter who it is, it's on that inside linebacker room to prove to that defense, prove to Dom Capers that they can handle those responsibilities.
Yeah, and shifting gears a little bit to the cornerback spot, Quentin Rollins, we didn't see him too much through OTAs. He had a dislocated finger that kept him sidelined. Sounded like kind of a nasty little injury.
Yeah,
but
through the skin. Jammed my finger once and cried like a baby. So I can only imagine how that felt.
Yeah, sounds like he's going to be okay. But one thing that did is then we saw Demaryius Randall, the second-year cornerback, first-round pick last year, move inside, play a little bit more in the slot, you know, more of a hybrid corner position. Sam Shields is obviously the top guy on the outside. I really like the way the Packers are building this depth at cornerback. And when you talk about the fact that over the last 2 years, they've lost Tremont Williams, Devon House, and Casey Hayward in free agency, yet they still have a ton of choices. Dom Capers has plenty of chess pieces in the secondary for what he wants to do.
This is Ted Thompson's had, what now, 11 drafts and made a lot of critical decisions along the way. What they've done at cornerback, though, in the fact that it appears that they've hit on multiple guys and found guys like Ladarius Gunter as UFAs, that's huge for this defense in the changes that they've made in the secondary. Randall actually approached cornerbacks coach Joe Witt last year wanting to play inside linebacker. Inside cornerback, not quite linebacker yet.
Right.
But it just didn't work out at that time. They needed him outside. Now this offseason's had a chance to do that. Gunter's had a chance to learn that position so that when they go to training camp, when they get into the regular season, they're going to find out who the best guys are. They're going to put him in those positions. Again, going back to that whole ideology of wanting to have the best 11 on the field at all times.
Yeah, definitely. And you've got Micah Hyde who can play slot corner. He can play safety. You know, there's plenty to talk about with Morgan Burnett and HaHa Clinton-Dix, that pairing at safety as well, a couple of veteran guys there now. Going back for a second, though, to Julius Peppers, we talked about him briefly. It looks like a guy who just is not going to slow down. I mean, you know, double-digit sacks again last year. There's no indication that he can't do that again this year. And, you know, this is a guy who's climbing the sack list, the all-time sack list, tied for ninth right now. A half a dozen sacks, he'll be up in the top five all-time, pursuing that Super Bowl ring. This is going to be a really fun guy to watch, I think, in 2016.
Yeah, because there's so few of those guys in the league right now, 15 years, 9 Pro Bowls, 36 years old. The fact that he's been able to make it this long, last that long, Clay Matthews even alluded to it this offseason, saying that there was never this 20-sack year. It's just been steady consistency. And that was something I think you can really speak to, you know, Peppers, what he's done and what you can expect this year with this defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll shift gears after the break and talk a little bit more about the rookies that the Packers have brought in. And we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. Wes, let's talk a little bit about the rookies. Another draft class was brought in. As you watched OTAs and minicamp, if you had to pick one draft pick that stood out to you the most on the field, who would you say?
I'm going to go with Blake Martinez. We talked about him a little bit the last segment. And I know you don't have pads on. You can't read everything.
Right.
But
right.
All the steps he took to learning this defense, he talked about, you know, he's two lockers away from Aaron Rodgers. He's been consistently picking his brain.
In his ear a little bit.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
The guys come in, Rodgers even talked about, you know, if rookies come in, sometimes they're a little apprehensive to approach him, two-time MVP. You know, Martinez just goes right up to him, breaks the ice with, you know, some college talk and Pac-12 football. So
yeah, the old Stanford-Cal thing would be going on for a while there.
There was the natural bound, you know, kind of to bring them together. But
yeah.
You look at what he's doing on the field, too. I mean, he got that nickname, I think it was Machinez, when he was when he was at Stanford, just a tackling machine. I mean, he almost quadrupled the next tackler at Stanford during his senior year.
Yeah.
And a student of the game, studies relentlessly. Looking at him at that position, where they might fit in, he got a lot of reps with Barrington, Joe Thomas, you know, missing parts of the offseason program. He's a guy I think you couldn't help but notice.
And he's kind of a fitness and diet freak from one discussion that you had with him. Talk about that a little bit.
No soda the last 8 years, no sweets, doesn't drink. It's amazing. I remember interviewing him a little bit, and then I went right back up to the office here and grabbed a Diet Coke right away. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I mean, like, this kid, it takes one second. You don't even think about it.
Yeah.
And this is a guy that he wants to make sure everything he does on the field preserves him, helps him in the long run. Everything has meaning, and I think that's pretty admirable. But he wasn't the only guy that the Packers had. There's a lot of guys in this rookie class that stood out. kind of curious what you think of maybe that other guy in your mind that was right there.
Yeah, I'm going to flip to the other side of the ball. The guy that stood out to me was Jason Spriggs, the offensive tackle, second-round draft pick out of Indiana, 46 starts in college, I believe. But you talk about a rookie that you notice when he walks out on the field physically. He's got the size. He looks like an offensive tackle walking right out of the draft onto an NFL field. And he looks like he could add 15 to 20 pounds to that frame, no sweat. You know, what this guy could be with, you know, a full off-season conditioning program next year after his rookie year and what he could become. But for his rookie season, the Packers brought him in as an insurance policy at tackle because when there were injuries last season to David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga, the pass protection suffered. Don Barkley had a rough year coming off of the knee injury from the previous year. Things really didn't settle down in pass protection until J.C. Treader stepped in at left tackle in the wild card game against Washington. But Spriggs is now that top backup, I believe, at tackle, and the Packers are in better shape depth-wise because of him.
Tons of experience. You know, the playing time that he had, he went to campus. There wasn't expected to be a left tackle. Next thing you know, he basically starts for them all 4 years at that position. And, yeah, as you mentioned, they had so many different guys playing out of place last year. This guy has the look and feel of an NFL left tackle, and, I mean, barely a spot of fat on the kid. I mean, yeah. It's just amazing.
And I think he went from something like 225 or 30 pounds as a freshman in Indiana up into that 290 range. And as I said, he's got the frame to get even bigger, and I think he will his first couple years in the NFL.
And not bad size at all. I mean, there's good weight on that frame, and as we've seen over the past years with the Packers and their offseason program, their workout program, strength and conditioning, plenty of room for him to make that next jump.
Yeah, an exciting guy to watch in the years to come, and we'll see what his rookie season brings. So we'll throw it to a break, and we'll come back and talk a little bit about the 2016 schedule. We'll be back with that on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Final segment, Wes. Let's talk about the 2016 schedule. It came out way back in April. But as we get closer to the start of the preseason, the start of the regular season, let's revisit this a little bit. When I look at the schedule, the first thing that jumps out at me are those back-to-back road trips to start things out in September. You're going to Jacksonville, Florida in early September. You're talking about a game that could be 95 degrees and 95% humidity, a real challenge potentially from a weather standpoint. And then you follow that up with going to Minnesota in week 2, primetime Sunday night football to open the new stadium in Minneapolis for the Vikings. That's a daunting first 2 weeks, in my opinion.
Now, you have the master's degree here, but if I remember correctly, this is the first time back-to-back road games that start a season since 1923.
Yeah, something crazy like that.
And obviously it was like their second season. So, like, it's amazing to me when you look at how everything played out. I know the first look I got at that was what did stick out. It's like, wow. I mean, the first home game not coming till September 25th. There are challenges built into that, especially when you look at them having two road games to end the preseason.
Right.
With the Wisconsin-LSU game coming in. But as Mike McCarthy talked about, it is going to be – you're going to have those ebbs and flows of a schedule. Things like this are going to happen occasionally, even if it is only once every, you know, 93 years. But at the end of the day, you got to go take care of business. As much as I would love for that Jacksonville game to be in December, the Packers are just going to have to deal with it and try to figure that out.
Yeah, and I remember back in 2006, my first year covering the team here for Packers.com, the Packers had a road trip to Miami in, right, I believe it was mid to late October. And it was hot and humid. You know, it was high 80s and high humidity. You're talking a whole month earlier than that trip down to Florida. This really could be a significant weather game, as significant as a December-January game at Lambeau Field on the other end. And the Jaguars being talked about as an up-and-coming team in the AFC as well.
Yeah, think back to even 2014 when they were in Miami. I think that was in October, if I remember correctly. And I remember guys talking in the locker room. TJ Lang was one of them. they were just physically exhausted. It was a great win. It was an emotional win right at the end of the game.
Yeah, in the 2006 game, guys were taking IVs and stuff at halftime and after the game. I mean, it's a legitimate issue to have to deal with for teams coming from up here to go down there.
They have a whole offseason to prepare for it. The Packers know where they're going to start the season, but even in that, there's going to be challenges built into it.
Yeah. So as we look later at the schedule, what's a stretch of games that jumps out at you?
Well, as challenging as those first two are on the road, I look to November, where you're going to have Tennessee, Washington, Philadelphia, two primetime games all on the road in consecutive weeks. It's a part of that gauntlet, you know, with the week four bye again, second time, I believe, 4 years that they've had it.
Yeah.
It's going to be at that point, they're going to be coming off 4 out of 5 at home, but that's also going to be that main stretch of the season where I think you really got to try to galvanize and get ready for that December football. And again, a playoff team in Washington, Tennessee, has some upside there. In Philadelphia, you're not sure what you're going to get with Doug Peterson's team. Those are going to be matchups, I think, that are really going to determine, kind of like maybe that midseason stretch did this year, exactly how the season's going to go.
Yeah, the playoff rematch in Washington in primetime, I think, is one a lot of people will have their eyes on. Kirk Cousins being, you know, an up-and-coming quarterback, trying to get to the level of an Aaron Rodgers. And after that stretch of three consecutive road games, the Packers will finish up. Seattle comes into Lambeau Field in December, and then you have three consecutive division games to wrap it up. You're at Chicago, then you're at home against the Vikings on Christmas Eve Day, then you're at Detroit. All three division opponents in the final 3 weeks of the regular season. Things are going to be decided then. We know that that's what will happen, and that's what we have to expect.
Well, if recent history is any indication, these games have been settled as far as the division is concerned in, what, the last 3-4 years?
Yeah,
now.
Week 17, it's always Packers against somebody for the division
title. And
they've
played everybody in the division in those games, too.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be you always want those division games to mean a lot, and not that they haven't in recent years, but three consecutive ones, getting a taste of each opponent, going down to Chicago, playing over in Detroit on New Year's Day. Good storylines, I think, that come out of it. And it'll be one of those things, too, to determine exactly where this thing goes and if the Packers can get back to the top of the NFC North.
Yeah, with the Vikings knocked them off their perch, four-time division champions, and the Vikings now are the team to beat. So that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team and stories and videos on Packers.com. On Twitter, follow at Wes Hodd, at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Thanks for watching, everybody, and we'll see you next time.